This is Radio Superior 1929, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1920s. Step back to another time and hear this recreation of radio. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior Normal School.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's Monday, November 25th, 1929, and it's time for the McKenna and Martin Show on KUWS. I'm Jack McKenna with music, a storm warning, and a special interview today with Douglas County Sheriff Deputy George Ramstead about the rash of car accidents we've had over the weekend. But first, here's Lou Martin with the Fink Motors 5 o'clock news. Fink Motors, with the 1930 Peerless Autos on their Ogden Avenue lots. Lou, have the good folks on Wall Street figured out what's up and what's down yet?
Well, it's hard to say, Jack. Topping our news this hour is the New York Stock Exchange, which has rallied somewhat today. Recording substantial gains today are Westinghouse Electric, American Tobacco, Warren Brothers, Union Pacific, Norfolk and Western, and the Reading Railroad. Down today was U.S. Steel, American Can, and Otis Elevator. U.S. Steel Youngstown dispatches indicate slowdowns in order from automakers, and the chairman of the Continental Illinois Bank and Trust, Arthur Reynolds, thinks the downturn will hurt business now, but he predicts that 1930 will be a good year for the economy. Meanwhile, Wall Street was looking for some constructive signs from the Conference of Business Leaders with President Hoover at the White House today. Another positive sign was an announcement by representatives of public utilities today that there are plans for at least $1.5 million in expansion and improvements in 1930. President Hoover's announcement prompted some more buying on the New York Stock Exchange. Also up today was American Business, Machine and Foundry, Standard Gas and Electric, and International Business Machine. Today was the first day of solid trading since the market collapsed on October the 29th. The Stock Exchange Board of Governors voted to increase the trading day from 3 to 5 hours, but there will be a four-day holiday beginning this Thursday with Thanksgiving. That's the news from Wall Street, Jack. We'll look for local news from the head of the lakes after this announcement by Fink Motors of Superior.
Thank you, Lou. Yes, I've noticed that Otis Elevators has had its ups and downs. Couldn't resist that, Lou. Now, from Fink Motors, this item on the Peerless. What is the Peerless? Well, the Peerless is the car with a spinal column behind it. It's beautiful. It's trustworthy. You should know that Peerless has been building high-grade motor cars for 30 years, that Peerless cars are sold in 42 foreign countries, that for 30 years, Peerless has met with every obligation when due. If you haven't seen the new Fearless yet, make it a must on your list. Get around town and find Fink Motor, 1007 Ogden Avenue in Superior.
The greatest iron ore shipping season in Superior's history will come to an end tomorrow. Just less than 20 million tons of iron ore will have been shipped from the city's two docks, the great bulk of it from the Great Northern Railroad docks. The steamer John J. Sullivan left the Great Northern docks yesterday morning with the last shipment there of 10,000 tons. That's according to the dock superintendent, A.W. Elmgren. The Northern Pacific and the Sioux docks will unload the vessel Shaughnessy tomorrow. The nearly 20 million tons will top the 16 million mark that was set in Duluth. The Duluth, Mesabi, and Northern Railroad also concluded its iron season on Sunday, breaking a record set last year of more than 20 million tons. Next week, the Sioux Line and the Great Northern Railroad companies will send in their huge ore unloading engines, with Great Northern doing the work at their shops at the foot of the Belknap Viaduct machine shop, and the Sioux Line will send its engines off to Minneapolis. The freeze-up of inland lakes has begun. Fish in Boulder Lakes north of Duluth report a sheet of ice after Saturday night and Sunday morning, while smaller lakes in northwestern Wisconsin have frozen as well. The quick freeze has spoiled the duck hunting for the numerous of those gentry still pursuing ducks, preventing the use of boats to go to their favorite shooting place. The Upper Eau Claire, Lake St. Croix, Whitefish, and others have not frozen over as yet. The future of the airport in Superior will be in the hands of a committee that will soon be formed. KUWS City Hall reporter Mike Simonson has the details. Mike?
The needs at the Superior Airport will be discussed in full at the Superior Association of Commerce meeting next week. Aviation Committee Chairman Reed Merrill will make a full report at that time. The meeting will be held at the Android Hotel. Another important transportation matter is getting attention from the governor's office. A harbor bill that was passed by the legislature this year allows Governor Walter J. Kohler to appoint two members to a harbor commission, with the rest of the appointments from Superior Mayor George Dietrich and the City Council. We'll be covering developments, Lou, on both the Harbor Commission and Airport Aviation Committee.
Well, that's good, Mike. It appears the border controversy marking the line between Michigan's Upper Peninsula and northern Wisconsin has been resolved. The line, in dispute, is about 65 miles long from the headwaters of the Brule to the headwaters of the Montreal River. Rivers form a natural boundary along the rest of the border. In dispute was an area previously staked out by explorer William A. Burt in 1847. That's 82 years ago. Burt, when drawing the original line, he blazed a path of trees, including making axe notches along the tree trunks, and drove in stakes every half mile in some very wild and inaccessible areas. Now federal land engineer Earl Harrington has uncovered most of the stakes and even found notches in trees 6 inches under the bark surface. Several of the original markers placed there by Burt were still in place. Finally, hundreds of friends and family attended the funeral of prominent Superior Attorney Judge C.R. Fridley. People crowded into the Elks home, where a service was held by the Reverend E. Ernest Bays. Members of the Bar Association, which Judge Fridley had founded, acted as pallbearers, including Judge Archibald McKay, Judge W.R. Foley, J.B. French, H.V. Baird, Lyman Powell, and the Mayor, George Dietrich. Judge Fridley had been a Superior resident since 1890. Now, we have the big happenings at the Palace Theater and the Superior Evening Telegram with Harriet Farrig. Good afternoon, Harriet.
Thank you, Lewis. A Saturday night kid in department store parlance is a girl who does not have a steady boyfriend, but who manages to grab off dates with swell gents every Saturday evening. Clara Bow will be seen and heard in the title role of a play based on this type of character when the Saturday night kid comes to the Palace Theater in Superior for a 3-day run beginning Sunday. It is her third all-talking picture. The play is established on the doings of the boys and girls who work as salespersons and clerks in the big department stores of the metropolis. Miss Bow is a hard-working sales girl who is deeply in love with a James Hall, a clerk, who has ambitions to rise higher on the store's staff. Clara's younger sister picks Hall for a winner in a battle for higher wages and success and sets her own traps for her sister's boyfriend. Clara, unaware that her sister is working out a well-calculated intrigue, sees Hall's indifference and decides to go democratic with her dates to bring him to his senses. But complications enter the field of activity, and heroic, if frenzied, measures are called for to save the day. Miss Bow saves it and her own reputation at the same time in a series of thrilling sequences. The production is satisfyingly garnished with authentic American slang. The atmosphere is genuine. The acting is superb and gives Miss Bow the greatest recommendation for new laurels which her art has yet earned for her. That's all from the local thespian goings-on. I bet you'd like Clara Bow's picture and autograph, Lewis.
I certainly would. That would be a real thrill. That's the Fink Motor 5 o'clock news on KUWS for this Monday, November the 25th of 1929. Now, Jack McKenna with the weather and music from our wax recordings.
Okay, Lou, thank you very much. Say, we have a storm warning coming up. It looks like we're not getting out of the usual storm warnings in November. We got one right at the end of the month here, and we'll have it for you in just a moment. ¶¶ Indeed, Clarinet Marmalade, Frankie Trumbauer and his orchestra featuring the cornet of Bix Beiderbecke. Yes, it's good the iron ore shipping season is just about over, friends, because we've got some harsh weather on the way later this week. And hunters, take heed to the following storm warning from the U.S. Weather Bureau in downtown Duluth. Weather will plunge from highs tomorrow of 28 degrees to lows by Thursday and Friday to well below zero. Expect temperatures in Duluth to hit 15 below and 12 below in Superior Thanksgiving Day. This cold wave from the Canadian Northwest will plunge into northern Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan by Thanksgiving Day, and in the Ashland to Ironwood area and eastward, more than a foot of snow is expected to fall. So, deer hunters, beware of the first winter storm on the way to the head of the lakes. Right now, things are still nice, with a snow flurry and 25 degrees at Superior State Teachers College. But don't be lulled into a false sense of security. Here we go now with the Wang Wang Blues.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed, folks. Good music here with McKenna and Martin. Well, friends, with the snow flurries that have been falling here at the head of the lakes, we've had 6 traffic accidents here just over the weekend. We invited Douglas County Sheriff Deputy George Ramstead in to talk about safety among the motorists out there, especially with the first snowstorm of 1929 on its way. Deputy Ramstead is with our newsman, Lou Martin.
Well, thank you for coming in, Deputy. 6 accidents this weekend. What are people doing wrong here?
Well, for one thing, they've forgotten how to drive on ice and slippery conditions. In addition to the accidents, we've had many near misses. I had to give special instructions to some people for careless turns, for instance. Miss Ida Oakland had just come from her job as clerk at Nordine's grocery store and was making a quick turn without looking. I felt it necessary to give her a stern rebuke at that time. And someone could have been killed in an accident I responded to near Wentworth. Mr. Carl Nealon's car was rammed by Edward Murphy of Superior, tipping Nealon's car over. Both cars were badly damaged, but miraculously, none was hurt.
Well, Deputy Ramstead, are these people simply going too fast, or are they not paying attention?
Some of it is definitely carelessness, not paying attention. One case this weekend was especially cavalier. 22-year-old Herbert Brightman of Patsu struck a man in another car at Tower and 14th. The man in the car that was struck shouted his name out, it was McGill, and then drove away. We haven't been able to find him yet, and if he's listening, call us at the Sheriff's Department or police station, please.
Is this rash of accidents fairly common for this time of the year, just as winter is setting in?
Yes, Lou, it certainly is. You'd think we'd learn, but it seems we forget to slow down for conditions. And that forecast that Jack is reading is a real whopper, so we're afraid things will only get worse. But remember, those narrow tires on Model Ts tend to slip and slide around. And, Lou, we're serious about cracking down on folks who get careless.
Okay, Deputy George Ramstead with the Douglas County Sheriff's Department. Thank you for visiting us here at KUWS Radio at the studios here.
Thank you, Lou.
Jack, none of that hot rodding around for you anymore.
No, indeed, Lou. I can't take chances like that. I don't even know if cars will do the test of time. I know the Peerless will, but it makes you wonder. When somebody can be hit and the car tipped over, we've got a long ways to go, Lou. And with guys like Deputy Ramstead on duty, I feel just a little bit better about the traffic situation, however. Let's read that U.S. Weather Bureau forecast for you one more time before we get back into our wax recordings. From the U.S. Weather Bureau in downtown Duluth, weather will plunge from highs tomorrow of 28 degrees to lows by Thursday and Friday to well below zero. Expect temperatures in Duluth to hit 15 degrees below and 12 below in Superior Thanksgiving Day. This cold wave from the Canadian Northwest will plunge into northern Wisconsin and the upper peninsula of Michigan by Thanksgiving Day, and in the Ashland to Ironwood area on the south shore and eastward, more than a foot of snow is expected to fall. So, deer hunters, beware of this first winter storm on the way to the head of the lakes. Right now, things are still nice, but with a snow flurry and 25 degrees at Superior State Teachers College. But don't be lulled into a false sense of security. This one's a tough one. Yaka Hula Hiki Dula by Al Jolson.
Down along my young way, where I danced to parade. On an evening I heard a hula maiden play. Yaka hula hiki dula, yaka hula hiki dula. Down along my young way, by the moonlight day. But when I lingered a while, see, stole my heart away.
Ya to lehiki tula, ya to lehiki tula.
Oh, I don't care if you love the lady far and near. You forget about them all if you should hear.
Ya to lehiki tula, ya to lehiki tula.
I'm coming back to you, my hula-loo. If I can see that might be to you today, honey, and once again you're away. My heart away with your yakahula, yakahula, Lord. I'm coming back to you, my hula, Lord. Across the sea. That's why you see all those of today for me. And once again, you're away. My heart away with your Yakahula, Yakahula, Lord.
That was a big tune in 1916. That's when it climbed to the top of the charts. Here's a sports note for you folks. Congratulations to the Yellow Jackets for winning the Wisconsin Teachers Football Conference title over the weekend. The Yellow Jackets at Superior School with 4-0 undefeated this season. The Milwaukee Teachers tied with the Whitewater Club, leaving the Milwaukeeans with a 3-0-1 tie for the 1929 season. And in high school football, Superior Central high-topped Cathedral High, including a touchdown catch by tight end Wadsworth Longfellow of Central. The score was 13-6 in the game at Gates Field. Here's The Birth of the Blues by Paul Whiteman.
Thank you.
Understand you had a boyhood relationship with Wadsworth Longfellow in a sports manner.
We played touch football in Hammond Park, and he went on to play in Northwestern. I think he played basketball and football. He was several years older than I was. Big, tall fella, and a fine athlete. I don't know. I think his dad sold insurance, as I remember it. Was transferred out of here, and I never heard from him again. A fine athlete, though.
But those were the days when you ran the 100 and 10 flat, I understand.
A little less than that.
Well, that's it for this afternoon with McKenna and Martin in the afternoon on KUWS. We'll watch that winter storm heading our way, incidentally, and see you same time and same place on the radio. And this is Jack McKenna speaking. So long.
This is Superior Radio 1929, a weekly original production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Superior Radio 1929 executive producer is Mike Simonson. Assistant producer is Brianna Pearson. Assistance in this program comes from the Superior Public Library and the Jim Dan Hill Library. All of the events reported on Superior Radio 1929 are actual accounts from editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Your comments are welcome at 394-8530 or mail them to us at KUWS Radio, UW Superior, Superior, Wisconsin 54880. Join us next week at this time for more Superior Radio 1929. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.